Listen now as we bring you Humble Servants of the Lord on the Chapel Platform, originating from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. The biblical truth these servants of God have shared at chapel and worship services has prepared many Christians to serve God. This week coincides with Missionary Emphasis Week at Bob Jones University. As we bring you these messages, keep in mind the need to reach many lost souls worldwide. Today's speaker is Dr. Ronald Van Hee from Grace Baptist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. He spoke at a Bible conference service on Tuesday evening, March 19, 1991. His text is the third epistle of John, verses 5 through 8. His discourse is titled, The Doctrine of Escorting.
This evening, I'm going to be preaching a message entitled, The Doctrine of Escorting. The Doctrine of Escorting. You will take your Bibles and turn to the book of 3 John. A young man on campus this evening, I don't know if he's here, he said he had to work, and he said, what are you going to preach on tonight? And I said, well, I'll be preaching on missions, but I'll be preaching on the doctrine of escorting. He said, is that a new doctrine? And I said, no, it's an old doctrine that needs to be revisited. And so I trust tonight, as we look at the Word of God, that it will be a challenge. I want it to be a challenge to the preacher boys. I want it to be a challenge to the pastors who are here. I want to be a challenge to any person, every person that loves missions and loves the Lord and wants to go out to help missionaries, to be an encouragement to them. I don't care whether you're a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or whatever it might be. I trust that God will speak to your heart tonight. The scripture is going to be 3 John, starting with verse 5 through verse 8. We shall read it this evening. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Shall we stand as we have a word of prayer? Father, we thank you this evening for the opportunity of being here. We thank you for those who are here. I pray, Father, the Word of God would be clear to the point that we would learn those things that are necessary in our lives to be the servant we ought to be for the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the missionaries who are here tonight in this auditorium. Father, I pray a special blessing on their lives and their ministry. Thank you for them, Father, and I pray that you might help them in the days ahead. Again, we pray that you would direct us, that we might look to you and that the Holy Spirit of God would be our teacher. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. The doctrine of escorting. If you look at verse 5, he says, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest. There was a man here in the church named Gaius. He was a man who loved the Lord greatly. Some say maybe he was the pastor or one of the pastors. Sometimes they had a number of pastors in the church. He may have been a deacon. He may have just been a layman, very possibly a layman. But he wanted to do something for God. He wanted his life to count for the Lord Jesus. And so he found a ministry that he could do himself, something that he could do specially for the Lord and for those who were traveling preachers and missionaries and teachers. And so he said, thou doest faithfully. I believe anything that's going to be done for God in the matter of missions is going to have to be done through faith. The Bible says very clearly, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I believe that with all my heart. I don't think you're going to please God. You're not going to get much done in missions if you don't do it with a matter of faith. And so we find here that it says he did this faithfully. It was a work of faith. I believe what he was going to accomplish was going to take faith on his part. And so he said, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest. The word doest is a small word. And some of you know this, of course, but it's three thoughts here in this particular word. First of all, doest means to labor, to be active, to perform. He was laboring at this particular job, this particular task. Secondly, The emphasis is on a process rather than the end of the action. It emphasizes the process rather than the end of the action. Have you ever had a job? And you got the job and you said, man, I hate this job. I don't want to do this job. And you got the job and you went through it as quick as you could, got the job finished and said, man, I'm glad that's over with. I hate that job. I'm glad it's done. On the other hand, there might be a job you do that you enjoy immensely. Maybe it's working with wood. Maybe it's working with your shotgun or rifle. Maybe you like to hunt or whatever. And you enjoy what you're doing. In fact, you enjoy that particular job so much you don't even care if you get done. It's just one of those things that you really enjoy. And I think that's part of this word doist here. And then thirdly, the idea includes the idea of continuity and repetition. It was not something that he did one time. It was something that he did over and over and over. And so the Bible tells us, beloved, thou doest faithfully by faith whatsoever thou doest. And he gives two classes of people here, to the brethren and to strangers. The brethren, I think, is not very hard. I think of probably his Christian brothers who came through that he knew, maybe knew them by face, maybe knew about them. The strangers would be possibly Christian brethren who he never knew or never met before. And then very possibly it might have been someone that was not even a Christian. Now, what was his ministry? I believe his ministry was this. He wanted to be a blessing to the traveling missionaries and preachers and teachers. And maybe he'd be downtown one day and he'd see Brother Bill walking down the street and he'd say, boy, it's good to see you, Brother Bill. How you doing? Listen, come over to the house and we'll have some lunch today. And he'd have him over and then Bill would go his way. Maybe in the evening, Brother Joe would come through town and he'd say, good to see you, brother. Listen, have you got a place to stay tonight? And he says, no, I don't have anywhere to stay. And so he says, well, why don't you come on over? We've got a couple of extra bedrooms and we'll put an extra potato in the pot, you know, and you can stay with us tonight. And so the man would come and he would stay with them. And Gaius would say, as he looked at his coat, he said, listen, your cloak's getting a little threadbare, isn't it? He said, yes, sir, I've had this for quite a while. He said, listen, come on back. Got a back room here. We got some coats back here, some cloaks back here. And listen, why don't you go back and pick out one? Like to have you have it. And so the man went back and found one that fit him. And he thanked his host and went his way. And I believe the ministry that he was doing, that he himself could do for the cause of Christ, was assisting, helping, providing food, a place to stay, maybe a little help, maybe a sack lunch for the man to take down the road. And he was doing this because he loved the Lord and he loved these missionaries and servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Bible tells us here in verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. And as these men would go through town, they would go to the next town. And probably they would go to that town, and maybe it was Ephesus. And as they were in a service there, maybe the pastor would say, has anybody got a testimony? And one of these men would stand up and say, well, I'd like to give a testimony. You know, down in that little town over yonder, just a ways down there, there was this fellow named Gaius. And he gave me this coat. My coat was kind of had some, it was kind of wearing out, and he gave me a place to stay, and he gave me some food, and I just want to say, man, that guy was a real blessing to me. Thank God for him. And so, as various ones would come through, they'd give testimony, bore witness of his love for these brethren who were serving the Lord Jesus and going forward in the ministry for God. And he says, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey. The word bring forward is the word propempo. And I'd like to give you a definition of that particular word. The word propempo means this: to escort, to conduct, to send forth, to accompany, to bring on one's journey, to aid in travel, fitting him out with requisites. I want to give the definition again. I want you to try to remember this, because as we go through Scripture, I want you to see what this principle, what he was doing. It means to escort, to conduct, to send forth, to accompany, to bring on one's journey, to aid in travel, fitting him out with requisites. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts chapter 15. When I saw that word and saw what he was doing, I said to myself, is this a one-time thing in Scripture, or is this something that is found throughout the New Testament? And as I started looking and finding Scriptures and finding illustrations, I said to myself, this is a tremendous teaching, and we surely need this today in our lives. All right, let's look then at several verses. Acts chapter 15, verse 3, and we find it says here, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. It says, being brought on their way by the church. It wasn't Gaius this time as an individual. It was the church that was helping. It was the church that was providing these particular needs. The word being brought on their way here is the idea of furnish with requisites. What is a requisite? Well, I was 3 years in the Army before I came to Bob Jones University. And I know in companies in the Army, the first sergeant might tell a private, say, would you go down here to the quartermaster and get these particular items? And he would take a requisition form and fill out exactly what he wanted. Then he gave it to the private. The private went down to the quartermaster. He went in there. He put the requisition form down before the man. The man brought all the things that he needed, and he didn't have to pay for it. And I believe that we as Christians and we as churches that love the Lord Jesus need to have some requisition forms for our missionaries. Provide their needs to help them, to encourage them as they go out into all the world to preach the gospel. And so we find here that being brought on their way by the church. Chapter 17, verse 15. Chapter 17, verse 15 says this, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens and received a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus and for to come to him with all speed. And they departed. Paul had had some difficulty in Berea and Thessalonica, persecution. And the brethren wanted to get him away, to get him out of town. And the interesting thing to me here, they said, Paul, we want to go with you. We want to conduct you on the way. We want to help you. And I think probably in the sense that they were worried about his life, we want to protect you. We want to make sure you get out of here and get out of town and get down to Athens. And my friend, they went all the way from Macedonia, all the way to Athens, conducting him, going with him, that he might have a good journey and a safe journey. They were concerned about the Apostle Paul. Look at chapter 20, verse 38. Chapter 20, verse 38. Paul comes to Ephesus and talks to the Ephesian elders. And the Bible says in verse 38, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. I remember several years ago, as I was studying this and reading and trying to find out about this, we had a missionary church that was going to Ethiopia. And so I came to the missionary and I said, listen, Curtis, can I help you? Have you got anybody to take you out to the airport? And he said, no, nobody right now. I said, listen, can I come and get your family and take you out to the airport? And he said, yes, I'd be glad to have you do that. And so the day of their departure, I drove the car up to the house and they were saying goodbye to their family. Went and got their luggage, put it in the back of the trunk and got them in the car, drove out to the airport, got their luggage checked in. And then we went out by the tarmac out there. I went to a side building there. I said, listen, can I have a word of prayer with you and ask God's blessing on your life? And so they said, sure. And so we got together in a circle and held hands. And I prayed that God would keep them safe and give them a good journey and bless their ministry in Ethiopia and that God would be with them. And I was trying to put into action this particular principle of escorting, of accompanying, of helping them, going along with them. And it was a great blessing to me. And from that time on, I've tried to do this whenever I can to be an encouragement to the brethren. And so the Bible says here, as the elders were there, they hugged him and kissed him, as it were, and then they accompanied him down to the beach and onto the ship, and Paul went away. Look at chapter 21, verses 5 and 6. Chapter 21, verses 5 and 6, it says, "And when they had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again." I can picture this in my mind. Maybe in somebody's house, maybe a rented building. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's brought his final message. He's talked to the people. And they said, "Paul, we want to walk down to the beach with you. We want to accompany you down to the beach." And so he said, "I think that's a good idea." And so I can see it as the kids, and it says here, children and moms and dads and maybe grandmas and grandpas. And here they go. They come out of the house, you know, and they're going down the street. It's just like a big parade. You know, the kids are jumping up and down and having a great time. And mom and dad's walking down the road. And maybe there's like folks around the Apostle Paul saying, asking him last-minute questions, you know, like they do, you know, and doing that kind of a thing, you know. And they got out down to the beach there, and they kneeled down and prayed for their missionary, that God would bless him. And then the Bible says, very interesting thing, Paul got on the boat and went about his missionary activity, and they went home. Now, folks, we need both. The missionary must do his work, his ministry. He must get on the airplane. He must get on the boat. He's got to get on the train. He's got to go to the next church. He's got to go to the country he's going. But, brother, he needs some folks here at home who will stand by the stuff. Folks who will back him up. And so they went home. They went back to their jobs. They went back to their ministry. But there was something in their heart for the Apostle Paul. They said, "We're going to pray for him. And we're going to help him. And we're going to do what we can for him." And I imagine they sent him offerings from time to time. Folks, we all can't go to the mission field in that sense. But there's no reason in this world why we cannot do everything by the grace of God to back up these people as they go. And I think that's, he got on the boat and went his way. They went back home and did what they were supposed to do, but they wanted to go on and serve the Lord Jesus. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 5 and 6. Paul says in this scripture, "Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go." Look at verses 10 and 11. "Now, if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren." The word "bring" and the word "conduct" is the same word. And it simply means furnish with requirements of travel. Now, we look at the Apostle Paul's life and we say he was a great missionary and he's a great preacher and he served the Lord faithfully. And he's a veteran missionary and we surely want to support veteran missionaries. We want to be around them. We want to help them. We want to encourage them. And so Paul is saying here, "I am going to be with you, and I want you to bring me on my journey, whithersoever I go." It didn't make any difference. If God called him, that's where he's going. But I want you to bring me. I expect that church to help me. And so we're proud of our veteran missionaries, and we thank God for them. In Washington, D.C. this last fall, we had a meeting, the International Congress on World Evangelism, a huge missionary meeting. Maybe some of you were there. And one of the things that blessed my heart was this. They gave awards to missionaries, husband and wife, who had been on the field at least 30 years. And they gave them a plaque. And they honored them for their service. Thank God for the men and women who have gone out in the fields and they're veterans and they know the ropes and they serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But what happens when the veterans die, get sick and have to go home, have problems? Who's going to replace them? Young Timothy's. That's who's going to replace them. And you'll notice here, Paul says, I want you to watch out for my son Timothy. I've come. I expect your help and encouragement. But my son in the faith, Timothy, is going to come also. And he says, see that he be without fear. You know, it's a fearful thing sometimes to be a young missionary. And you look at the task before you and you say, how am I going to get through this? Am I going to be able to support my family? What's going to happen to me? And being a young missionary is very difficult. But thank God for those who will say, that's the job God's given me and I'm going to do it. I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. And Paul said, see that he is with you without fear. And he goes on, let no man therefore despise him. You know, it's a wonderful thing. I thank God for all the missionaries and the preachers who are older men in the faith, and God has blessed their lives and blessed their ministries. And it's nice to be around them, isn't it? Talk to them. It's a wonderful thing. What about the young preacher? What about the young missionary? Oh, that pipsqueak? That kid? Yeah, he don't know anything. Yeah, you can run him down if you want. You may discourage him. And he may not go on for God because of that kind of treatment. Paul said, I want you to treat Timothy just like you treat me. And pastor friend and pastor to be, treat your missionaries with respect and love and concern, whether a first-time missionary or a veteran missionary. Treat them the same. Your treatment of them and your blessing to them and your encouragement of their life may change their life forever. And they may go on and serve the Lord Jesus just because you were interested, you were concerned. Turn to 2 Corinthians 1:16. 2 Corinthians 1:16 says this, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. You find this thought through Scripture in the New Testament. Paul expected the church to help him. Paul expected Christians to help him. And he said, I want you to bring my way. As I head toward Judea, I expect you to bring me on my way. In the book of Romans, I'm going to read several scriptures. You can turn to them if you want or not. In Romans chapter 15, verse 24, it says this, wherefore I take my journey into Spain. I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with my company. Paul writes to the church in Rome. As far as I know, he had not been to Rome. He was writing a group of people in a church that he'd never been there yet. And Paul's heart was burdened for the regions beyond. Paul had gone through Syria. Paul had gone through Asia Minor. Paul had gone through Greece. And he said, I've always wanted to go to Spain. And Paul's heart was burdened for Spain. You know, I thank God that God burdens the hearts of our missionaries for a particular country, someplace that God wants them. And Paul said, I've always wanted to go to Spain and I want to preach the gospel there. Now, as far as we know, I don't know if Paul ever got to Spain. But he wanted to. And he expected the church in Rome, even though he did not know them, he had not been there before, he expected the church in Rome to provide and help him with travel requisites, encourage him on his way to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 13, it says, bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. We started out with a Christian in a church, Gaius. And then we went to scriptures that talked about the church doing this. Here are some fellows traveling in that day. Zenas the lawyer, Apollos, one of the great preachers of that particular time. But bringing them, and they're going, he said, I want you to bring them on their journey diligently. Be zealous. Be concerned about their needs. And then he says this, and I think it's quite interesting, that nothing be wanting unto them. Nothing simply means here, not even one thing. How are you going to know what the missionary needs if you do not ask him? But if you will ask him, and he'll share some needs with you, you ought to do everything you can by the grace of God to supply that need. I said in churches before, you may not be able to give him a new Cadillac, but you might afford a new Chevy. You can do what you can do. Do the best you can. And my friend, we need to be like this church here. Supply his needs. Don't miss out on anything. Not even one thing. One of my favorite scriptures on this particular thought and this particular doctrine is Acts 28:15. I've always enjoyed it so much. The Apostle Paul, you remember, had some very difficult times as he was coming from Judea to Rome. And you remember that he was in shipwreck and he was bitten by a serpent and all kinds of things happened to him. Finally, the Apostle Paul gets to Italy. The ship lands. He gets out. The soldiers get out. He starts to walk up the road toward Rome. And the Bible says in Acts 28:15, and from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appia Forum and the three taverns, who when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. I can see the Apostle Paul after this harrowing journey and the problems and the heartache and difficulties. Imagine he was pretty tired. It's kind of hard when you get off a jet, you have jet lag. Paul got leg lag, you know, that's all he got. But he had to walk most of the places he went. And I can see him that day as he starts to walk up the road toward Rome, the soldiers around him. And he looks up the road and he sees some fellas coming down, and maybe he thought in his own mind, I wonder who those guys are. Got a little closer. They came to Paul and said, are you the Apostle Paul? He said, yes. He said, brother, we came down from Rome just to escort you back to Rome. That's about 40 miles, folks. They loved him. They respected him. And they said, we'd like to have the honor of escorting you back to Rome. Now, it's interesting to me in this particular scripture, the word meet. The word meet here has this thought. Official welcome of a newly arrived dignitary. I like that. An official welcome of a newly arrived dignitary. Who was this one? The Apostle Paul. I'll tell you who was. He's an ambassador of Jesus Christ. An ambassador represents a king or a president. And standing on the shores of Italy that day was an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And they treated him like one. They treated him as a newly arrived dignitary. And I'm saying today that in our churches we need to treat our missionaries that way. They are ambassadors for Christ. Thank God for them. Let's not give them a little check and pat them back and say, God bless you. Let's do something for them. Be a blessing. The last part of the scripture says this. When Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. I wonder if the Apostle Paul wasn't a little discouraged. Pretty tough life sometimes. And here these fellows came down just to walk back to Rome with him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:15, not connected particularly with this thought, But it says this, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You know, I thought, this old world addicts itself to all kinds of things. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, all kinds of things. People are addicted. And I thought to myself, why in the world can we not addict ourselves to the ministry of the saints? Why can we not devote ourselves to this ministry? Pastor, could you not? Assistant pastor, could you not? Deacon, could you not? Sunday school teacher, could you not? Just everyday regular Christian, could you not? Could you not addict yourself, devote yourself to the ministry of the saints? And as I saw this particular teaching in the New Testament, verse after verse after verse, I said to myself, could this be a Bible doctrine? Not new, just New Testament. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, you remember the story that Abraham one day was sitting maybe under the shade of his tent. Maybe there's a palm tree there, but he was sitting there, taking it easy maybe. And he looked down the road and he saw three men coming. He jumped up. He went out to meet them and said, sir, come on in. We'd like to have you rest and we'll make a meal for you and we'll do some things for you. Please come in. And so the three men came in, sat down, had a meal. At the end of the meal, the Bible says in Genesis 18:16, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Abraham said, let me walk down the roadway with you a while. And so as they took their journey, Abraham went along to escort them, to conduct them on their journey. And because he did, there was an opportunity for wonderful intercession. And I believe you and I, if we'll take this particular teaching and use it and do it, there will be wonderful opportunities of service for the Lord Jesus that we had not seen before. To intercede, to be concerned. And then in 2 Kings chapter 4, turn to that if you would. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. There are many other examples, I'm sure, in the Old Testament. These two came to my mind quickly. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Can I stop a minute? Let me say this. She was a great woman. She had a great heart. Ladies, there's much you can do for the cause of Christ, if you will. And God will look down in your life and say, she's a great woman. This was a wonderful, wonderful lady. And so the Bible says that she was a great woman and she constrained him to eat bread. Evidently, he did not want to stop. He traveled by there constantly going back and forth. And the Bible says she constrained him. Please come on in. We'd love to give you something to eat and have you rest for a minute. Please come in. And she constrained him. Finally, he consented to go ahead. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. It became kind of a regular thing. You know, here it was, and she wanted to do that, and so he had a long journey, and he was tired usually, and so he'd drop in and have a meal and maybe rest for a while and then continue with his journey. Now look what she did. And she said to her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be that when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." She said, "Wait, husband, I'd like to do something more. We feed him a little bit and help him along the way. But, you know, husband, I think we could do a little more. Why don't we build an extra room out here? And we can put a bed and a chair in there. And whenever he comes by, he doesn't have to come and knock on the door. He can just turn in and that'll be his room. And if he comes late in the evening, it's his room." And she was so concerned about this traveling preacher that she made special arrangements for him. And I do believe that he was grateful. My friend, you can do that if you will. And so as I look at the Bible, I see that there is a doctrine of escorting. Escorting? One who conducts someone, provide that which is necessary. Let's turn back to 3 John. 3 John 5, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully a work of faith, whatsoever thou doest to the brethren, to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey as you escort them." And then the next four words are quite interesting. "After a godly sort." After a godly sort. The thought here is worthy of God. How should we treat those traveling preachers and missionaries and ones who are traveling for God and serving Him? Worthy of God. It could also mean as God would have treated them. Now that makes it a little clearer, doesn't it? Preacher friend, preacher to be friend. The Bible says that we're to treat these men and women and servants of God as God would treat them. I think we better shape up. I remember years ago, had a missionary come to our church in Elkhart, Kansas. Been a long time ago. And we gave him an offering. He was there one day, and we gave him an offering which happened to be more than my weekly salary. I wasn't jealous, you know. But anyway, he got this offering, and I thought, why in the world did he get this big offering, you know? And preachers don't get jealous, you know. But anyway, I thought, well, praise the Lord. I'm glad he got it. That's great. And he got a call from a church to come and present his work in California. That's a long ways from Kansas. He drove all the way out there to a church six times as large as my church. Six times. After the service, the preacher said, well, the treasurer's not here tonight. We'll send you a check. And they sent him a check for $35. Then I knew why we gave him what we gave him. You can't go back and forth for $35. Even back in 1970, you couldn't. And I believe with all my heart, God wants us to give. And we need to treat them as God would treat them. And so he says here, in verse 6, the last part, "Bring forward on their journey, after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." Verse 7, "Because that for His name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles." I've often wondered, why do missionaries go? I had a missionary friend from Brazil came home this last term. And the wife found out she had MS. And here's what she said. "I can have MS in Brazil as well as MS in America." And they went back to the field. Now, friend, I don't know about you. I think that's great. I don't expect people to do that for the preacher. I don't expect people to do that even for the church. But I do believe there are men and women who will do that for the name of the Lord Jesus. For His name's sake. Been much nicer, wouldn't it, to stay home? Nice house? Near good doctors? Everything would have been wonderful? But no, she wanted to go back to the field. And that's where they are right now. Thank God for that kind of dedication. Taking, as it were, he says, for His name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. I believe he's saying here that God's people ought to support God's preachers. Don't expect the unsaved to support you. You as a missionary candidate, as a traveling preacher like an evangelist, you're not to look to the unsaved for support. And I don't think he's talking about when you get your deputation and Aunt Susie, who's unsaved, wants to give you some money to go to the mission field. She doesn't understand why you're going, but she wants to help. I don't think it's talking about that. I think it's simply saying that God's people, the churches, ought to support God's men and provide for them so they can go and preach the gospel around the world. And then verse 8, we'll conclude with this evening. He says, we therefore ought. Means moral obligation. There is a moral obligation on our part to support the missionary, to help them, to encourage them, to be a blessing. A moral obligation. We therefore ought to receive such. When I looked at the word received, my heart was blessed. The word received means this: to catch hold from underneath and lift up. Usually when I'm in missions conferences, I come to this message, I have a little child from the audience. I couldn't lift any of you folks. A little child in the audience, and I have him or her come up. And when I come to this, as an illustration, I reach down and I put my arms under that child and lift them up. And then I ask the audience, what am I doing? And they say, you picked her up. You lifted her up. And they'll use several ideas. And finally, someone will say, you're supporting her. That's right. That's right. And that's exactly how we ought to treat our missionaries. My friend, put your arms underneath and lift up. Support them. Encourage them. Help them. Be a blessing to them. In the vernacular, to underwrite, assume responsibility for expenses. And so we therefore ought moral obligation to receive such. These traveling preachers and missionaries as they go back and forth, as they go out to serve the Lord Jesus. What's our blessing? What do we get out of this? Praying, giving, helping, encouraging. It's right there at the end of the verse. That we, the Christian, the church, might be fellow helpers to the truth. What a privilege to be a fellow helper to the truth. What else can you ask? What else could you do that would be better? Well, friend, I don't know of anything better than that. And so there is this opportunity, scriptural message that says we can escort, we can provide, we can help, we can do it. You know, it's a wonderful thing when I look at Gaius, and I think Gaius said to himself, is there something I can do? Is there some way I can help? Personally, me, I know the church is doing this and the church is doing that. Is there something I can do? And he found a ministry. And he did it. And is there any reason why you can't do it? Is there any reason you can't do it? Is there any reason you can't do it? No! Not in this world! You can! Why don't you get in the escorting business? I think God will bless that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank You this evening for Your Word. Father, may our hearts be in concern, be burdened for those who are traveling for the cause of Christ, whether it be an evangelist who travels across America, or a missionary who travels around his homeland or goes across the sea. Father, help us to realize what our scriptural obligation is, and help us, Father, to do it. There is no reason that we cannot personally do this. Some way or another, somehow, be used of God in a very special way. And Father, tonight, if there be one person in this auditorium that does not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, Father, may You work in their hearts. May You deal in their lives. May they realize that without Christ, there is no hope. With Jesus Christ, there's all the hope in the world. And so, Father, I pray that You'd be with us. May we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on the Chapel Platform. If you'd like a copy of today's message, please send a check for $5 to Audio Services, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Just mention the speaker, Dr. Ronald Van Hee, the message titled, The Doctrine of Escorting, and today's date. Please join us again for the Chapel Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University.